episode 420 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You are listening to a podcast that's for you if you are one of the many people who play Magic the Gathering, because we did just find out that Magic had its best year ever in 2020.
Unbelievable. A year that was so terrible for so many reasons. Magic managed to stay on top, as did Monopoly, by the way.
You know, what can we say? There are people who get it and there are people who just don't.
Well, you know what? From the worst game of all time to the best, Magic taking down 2020 with style, and hopefully great returns into 2021 as well.
That's excellent news
for the company there.
Hopefully Magic having the best year, even while you're not having the best year, but helping your not best year be better.
That is a fabulous tagline, and they should adopt it. Just on all of the products.
Several lines of text.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about standard.
That's right.
So,
We have to, because it is ostensibly kind of new, even though it's a lot the same.
Yeah, standard week always happens at this point of our episodes over here on Good Luck High Five. Call Time was released officially in paper on February 5th. So this is week two of standard. And we're going to go through all of these new decks that have new Call Time cards. Some decks that have just been adapted and added a few Call Time cards, and basically just get a look at standard in general here at the beginning of the new format.
That's right. We'll also have a VML update.
Yes, Megan's been playing.
A couple weeks in here. Plus, a little bit of Magic Story Time.
Magic Story Time. I'm super excited for Magic Story Time. It's available on Daily MTG if you want to read it for yourself. A bunch of also peripheral story up there. But who would, when Megan's going to give us the sweet rundown?
If you just want the hot, quick lowdown, which is not a phrase you should use outside of this context.
You know, I always go to the hot, quick lowdown at my local country bar every Friday night. I mean, before COVID. Where every dance was only 30 seconds. And... you know, you just got in there quick, and then you dance with a new partner.
A hot, quick lowdown.
It was like Tinder for country dance.
Yes, the like hot, speed dating, but for the two-step.
Wow, we've invented so many great new things on this podcast already. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about Black White Auras and Historic, because that's my new flavor of the month, and I've been having a lot of success with it. I want to help you have success with it too, if you want to do some winning on the ladder in Historic.
Before we get started, though, a quick thank you to everyone who is a patron of the show, but especially to Evelyn, who has become a patron of the show since our last episode. Thank you so much, Evelyn, and thank you so much to everyone who is a patron over at patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yeah, we'll read out your name on the next episode if you become a patron before recording on Mondays, so head on over there and do it. It takes no time at all, and it means so very much to us. You get access to our Discord, great rewards like stickers and playmats depending on your level of donation, but literally anything helps, and it means the world to us. So if you would, please, if you get anything out of our show, take this time during this cold snap we're having here in Minnesota to warm our hearts with a donation.
That's right. Speaking of warming hearts, warm your own heart with some stuff from Card Kingdom. cardkingdom.com/glhfmagic. Nope, /GLHF. Yep. Just stop there.
It's short.
Yes.
It's shorter.
/GLHF, a great place to get all of your stuff now that Kaldheim is here.
Yeah, Kaldheim's here. Like we said, out on the 5th, you can get a box of it from Card Kingdom.
Yes.
Crack it, play some Sealed with your friends over Spell Table.
Yep, you can get Valky if you need a Valky, one of the very few cards from Kaldheim currently in Standard.
Who doesn't need a Valky?
Who doesn't need a God of Lies?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, I kissed the Blarney Stone to try and get good at lying, but I could have just bought a Valky.
Is that what the Blarney
Stone
makes you good at?
That's what it gives you, the gift of gab. That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah. And you have to go to, I was in Ireland, I was very young, and you have to, it's disgusting talking about it.
Yes.
Especially in a time of a pandemic, makes me want to throw up.
Speaking of something that will not be around post-pandemic, maybe.
I hope not. What you had to do is stand in line for forever, of course.
Yes.
Go to this castle, hang upside down, and kiss the stone of this castle that was, and I can't hardly even say this without gagging, it was wet from people's mouths. Avoid this by buying Valky God of Lies.
Good luck, high five. Come to hear about magic. Stay to hear about kissing a disgusting rock.
Cockino.com/JulHF. Say good luck, high five. Get a token or a sticker in your order. It's a great place. They're great people, and they won't make you kiss a wet rock. We're going to kick things off with an update from the VML, the Venus and Mercury League. Megan, how's it going?
You know, it's going totally fine.
Great.
I started off 2-0. Great. Excellent. Start after some very close matches. Wow. Like my first two matches, extremely, extremely close against some excellent players. And I had played, let's see, the first week I played Winota.
Yep.
Like a little Winota standard deck.
Love it.
Great time. Party on, man. That deck was actually a very good time. And then the next time I played, I don't remember what I played the second time. Oh, I played this like,
you played
this garbagey Abzan midrange deck.
Because you love Siege Rhino so much, you wanted to
evoke him. Yeah, exactly. I want to honor the memory of Siege Rhino. No, but it has like lots of, it has Karuga the Macro Sage as your companion.
Great.
So I'm into a meme, man.
Yeah,
I'm into
why not? It. And you memed out and you won both first weeks with memes.
Yes, I really did. And then the third week, I was like, oh, my opponent has mostly played Mardu Doom Foretold the first two times.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I want to play something, like, I'll try Teemer Ramp. Because sure. My attention span for standard sometimes is quite short. You know, like, I don't know. I just want to mix it up.
You're changing it up every week.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. But you don't have to, right?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
You can just submit the same deck every week.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know what? Teemer Ramp does well against Doom Foretold.
Yep.
And it's like a really fun time. It's great. And then my opponent switched to Demir Rogues. So.
Ooh, Megan, wait. How do you feel about Demir Rogues?
I don't even have words for the amount of disgust that Demir Rogues fills my soul with.
I mean, I feel like you would appreciate somebody like countering your spells and stuff since that's what you're into.
No, I don't. Do you know what's the worst card ever? Ruin Crab.
Oh, Ruin Crab.
More like Ruin Standard Crab, am I right?
What is this card?
It mills you for three.
Yeah, it's too many.
Anytime someone goes Ruin Crab, Fabled Passage, I want to slap something. Anyways, so yep. I lost that hard.
Okay.
That's a terrible matchup.
Got it.
Really garbage. I went back to just like my Abzan trash deck for the next week because I was having a good time. Just got stomped by a gruel midrange.
Okay.
Just stomped. So 2-2.
All right.
And then I forgot to submit a deck last week, in which case they just use your deck from the previous week.
Oh, so you got
it. So I was on Abzan again. But you know what? It was against Demir Rogues. And I beat him.
Oh, all right.
Because that's actually it's very fine
matchup.
You got
your
revenge. It's like pretty close to 50-50. So I'm currently 3-2.
Great. Winning record.
Yeah. I've been having a very good time.
Awesome.
I think I need to win this week and next if I want to have any chance of making the top 24, top 26.
Those people get into the playoffs?
To, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the top two people from each division. There's eight of them.
Okay.
And then there's eight wild card spots.
Cool.
So that must be 24. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, it's been a very good time. I'm playing Sultai Yorian this week, a deck that we will talk more about.
Great.
In our standard portion, which does have some cards from...
It has some new cards.
Yeah, some new cards. And yeah, so I'm just going to try my best. Next week, I am playing Chantel, who... has been also, I think right now she's also 3-2. For a while, she was like the only undefeated player. Like, she's been doing very well. So she's going to be my end boss.
Wow.
Or we'll end boss each other.
I mean, that's how they always choose a new CEO for a company.
Yeah, exactly. You end boss each other.
You end boss each other.
Yeah.
Big fight. All the employees watch the survivor CEO.
Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah.
Mostly I've been having a really good time. If you want to know more about what's happening in the league, you can always watch the Friday night coverage. Their coverage structure is great. They have a couple of different matches throughout the week, and then people record them, and then they have commentators talk about them and as they broadcast them.
Great.
So it's a really good time, and you get to see some cool stuff.
Yeah, and you can watch that over on twitch.tv/aspirantccg on Fridays, and you can also follow them on Twitter at AspirantCCG, and they'll give you updates on the VML, which is, you know, I think it's just a delight. The tournament structure is cool, and you've been bringing cool, spicy decks every single week. Good luck to you
mixing
these next two. So hopefully we can get you into those playoffs.
Ooh, keep me in your thoughts, everybody.
Woohoo, Yorian.
Keep me in your thoughts. And I don't know what I'm going to play next week. I don't know what I'm going to play.
Siege Rhino.
It's always just a gamble, you know?
It's never a gamble with Siege Rhino. You gain for life.
Don't even talk to me about the rhino.
Maybe I should take this time to talk about a deck. I mean, it's not standard, though, but it's a deck that I've been playing.
Tell us about it.
Okay. Since we have a BML update, I think it's the right moment to give you a Maria ML update. I'm not playing in any league. But some people have asked me on social media about this deck I've been playing in Historic, which is called Black White Auras.
Yeah.
It's technically Mardu, actually. But I want to give you just a brief description of it, because I think the deck is, if you're Maria fans of Boggles, you will absolutely love this deck until the cows come home. And even if they don't, in Historic right now.
I will love this deck whether or not those cows come home.
And I've been playing it on stream a little bit. I've got big goals this month with this deck because I feel it is so well positioned that I am almost guaranteed to make top 1200 in Mythic with it.
Oh my god, so this, we're having another hashtag Maria's Mythic month.
Oh yeah, I think we are. Yes,
nice.
So I've made Mythic once before in Standard playing some Rakdos Knights. That was great. But I did that in a late night best of one run where my arm almost fell off my body. Was in pain for weeks afterwards, so I'm sitting it like this and clicking the mouse. So anyway, this is my deck in Historic that I think right now, if you want to win, you will play this deck. Anyway, Boggles in Historic has been a thing, especially since they printed Core Spirit Dancer. And people have been playing generally blue-white because you get access to cards like Staggering Insight, which you put on your Core Spirit Dancer, draw cards, gain life. It's beautiful.
You draw so many cards.
You draw all the cards.
You draw so many cards.
And in fact, this was a deck that I played in some of those Historic, what were they called? I can't remember.
I don't know.
You know, the opens.
Oh, yeah.
The opens. I'm trying to
think. I don't know what you're talking about right now, so.
And I didn't do well with it, and I was very sad. Anyway, this little list started to percolate thanks to none other than Grzegorz Kowalski.
That's right. He played it at the last league weekend because it was a Historic league weekend.
And he didn't do well with it.
He did not.
And so I was kind of disappointed, but I was like, you know what? We got to give this a try anyway.
Yeah.
For Greg, you know?
Yeah.
And the deck is different in that it's black, white, not blue, white. So you're playing all the same white cards as you normally would, including Core Spirit Dancer and your little Pupper McPupperson, who sacrifices his life for you. And Luris, of course, of the Dream Den to get your stuff back. But in this case, you've got access to Thoughtseize, which, let's get real.
Maria, you're a Thoughtseizer now?
I mean, look, here's the thing. In Modern, I would absolutely hate anyone who ever played a Thoughtseize against me, because in Modern, your Boggles deck only has 8 creatures. And if you get one out of your hand, you're basically screwed. Anyway, I'm playing Thoughtseize now. Now I'm the bad guy.
I cannot believe you.
And also, even more critically, access to the card Kaya's Ghost Form.
Oh, spicy.
So this card, unplayable almost in every other instance.
Do you know what? You would not play this card in draft.
No, you'd be like,
ugh. If someone played this card on their creature in draft, you were like, lol. Okay.
Nice card. Yeah, what it does is it makes the next time your creature would die or go into exile, it returns to the battlefield under your control instead. Okay, why is that important? Because your creatures have to survive in this deck, because you've got to put auras on them.
Yeah.
And even if it means all of your auras have fallen off your Core Spirit Dancer, your SRAM, whatever you're doing, it's okay, because hopefully you have already drawn enough cards off of the casting the auras triggers that you can just refill your creature again after it gets Kaya's Ghost formed.
Or you have those nice, like, Sentinel's Eyes.
Yes, Sentinel's Eyes.
That you can just put it back in your graveyard.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Plus, it also has the card Claim to Fame. Remember this?
Yes. Wow.
Normally played in Rakdos midrange to get stuff back from the graveyard. Claim is great because it's a single black mana, and if they kill your Core Spirit Dancer next turn, you play Claim, get it back from the graveyard to the battlefield, by the way. Suit it up again and attack and win.
Nice.
So anyway,
nice.
This deck is a triumph. And if this sounds like anything you'd like to be doing in Historic, I think you should try it out. I think the deck can't lose. And that's a Maria promise. I won 2 Historic challenges with it. I played Historic challenge, got to the whatever wins where you win 40 packs. Then I was like,
dang,
I think I can run it back. And I did. So
wow.
That's my
spicy.
That's my personal update.
All right. So we'll have more updates on both the VML and on hashtag Maria's Mythic Month.
All right. It's time to talk some Standard.
All right. Because I guess we have to, because in theory,
It's standard
week. It's different.
It's a standard week right now. We have chained ourselves to the rock of talking about standard the second week of a set release, and here we are paying that price right now.
And ruined crab is the birds that fly around and peck out our livers.
So here's the deal. We've got MTG Data, which is a good account to follow on Twitter if you want updates on standard, mining MTG Melee, the tournament organizer for Magic the Gathering tournaments, to tell us how these decks are doing here the second week of standard. Number one deck, Rakdos Midrange.
Wow, yeah. Surprising, yeah, I will say.
I would not have predicted that, actually, with a 56.3% win rate.
Yes, quite good. And it is, like, it is a deck that does not have new cards except, for the most part, two copies of Valky.
Yeah, it is the same.
It is. It's a real bummer.
I've been playing this deck in standard for a while, so I'm very familiar with it. It's a fun deck.
Yeah.
There's lots of different lines you can play with this deck.
It is a very cool yard. Deck.
But to see it here at the top of the metagame, I mean, maybe it's just well enough established. Who knows?
Yes. Like, whatever. Maybe, right? Like, maybe that will change with some time, but this is the one that uses stuff like Mire Triton to put a bunch of cards in your yard. Timuret Calls the Dead.
Yep.
Obviously, Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger, to go ahead and just use your graveyard for all kinds of shenanigans, getting cards back, sacrificing things with Woe Strider, using the Acroan War to take your opponent's things and sacrifice them with Woe Strider.
Ox of Agonis, redraw. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
So big graveyard shenanigans. It is a cool deck.
It is, absolutely.
It's one of the cooler things that you can be doing.
It's just not new.
It's just not
new.
We
want new stuff.
Yes,
we
do.
I want to know Settling's Goon Eggs for Easter. No, I don't, actually.
I don't even know what you said.
I don't want to play Golden Goose.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was quoting Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, I just couldn't tell through that accent.
It was a perfect British accent.
No, you're right. It
flawless.
Dick Van Dyke would be proud.
The next most popular deck is it?
That's right. Is it Tempo? Which, despite its popularity right now, is not doing great.
Yeah.
47.9% win rate. Although that could be because it's new. There's still a lot of things to iron out. People, for instance, cannot even decide if this is a tempo control or mid-range deck.
Well, let's talk about what the deck is, because this is, in fact, one of the quote-unquote new decks arriving with Call Time.
Yes. And, you know, it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It does have things like, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Dragons.
It has that dragon. This version doesn't even know that we're looking at.
Oh, whoops.
It's okay. Hold on.
We'll find the one with the dragon. Yeah. I mean, this, I hesitate to call it is a tempo. I would call it is a control, in my opinion.
There's a bunch of flavors of it, though, right? Like, yeah. I think there is the one that I'm thinking of is the one that has, like, it does have Saw It Coming, lots of stuff like that, but it also has Goldspan Dragon.
Right.
So it is kind of like playing this weird thing where it wants to counter early, but then, like, slam a dragon and then hopefully just ride that to a win.
Make infinite mana with the Goldspan Dragon. Play Brazen Power stuff to bounce their creatures back to their hand and win like that.
So it's like, you know, it's been doing fine.
Blue-red is a combination that you have won with a lot in the past.
Yes, I do really like blue-red. I'm like tentative about trying this. Just because, like I said, it is kind of early. And looking at the deck, I do think that when we're talking about, like, what kind of deck is it? I didn't even mean to. What kind of deck is this deck? no one has the answer because I don't know that I like the framework of it yet, right? Like, it should know. I want a deck to know what it is before I play it.
I mean, good advice in dating and in deck selection.
Yes. I don't want to play a deck that hasn't decided yet if it's mid-range or control.
This one we're looking at now, it has
this is the
name.
One I was thinking
is
of.
It control?
Yes.
Yeah, four Goldspan Dragon, Brazen Borrower, and Bone Crusher Giant are your creatures.
And this is the one I was thinking of that's playing. It has three copies of Frostbite in it.
Okay.
It has four copies of Saw It Coming, four copies of Behold the Multiverse.
All right.
So this is the one that I think that was kind of at the top of my mind, right? You're trying to just do some countering with some Essence Scatter, some Saw It Comings, but then you're also using stuff like Behold the Multiverse to get some card advantage, and then Goldspan Dragon and Shark Typhoon to have the game not go too long. Because you don't all have right. infinite answers the way that some control decks have infinite answers.
Right, exactly.
Those spots are instead taken up by things like Brazen Borrower, by the Goldspan Dragon. Yeah. So I'm going to give this one a little space before
deciding.
I dive in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a hot minute since Izzet has been labeled a control deck in Standard. We've seen more aggressive, and what I would argue are tempo versions of the build with Sprite, what's it called, Sprite Dragon?
Yeah.
That one we've seen recently.
A little bit back, we had the Arclight Phoenix decks, which were very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
It's been a while, I think, in general, since we've seen Izzet on the main stage here.
Yeah, agree.
So I do hope that this comes to something. I hope that this isn't just a deck that we see in the first couple of weeks and it's like
a flash in the pan. What?
Get out.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see this deck evolve and get stronger as the weeks go by.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Dimir Rogues. Get out of here.
Dimir Rogues, not even going to talk about it.
I am so mad.
50.6% win rate. 51.6% for Naya Adventures, which does not really have any new stuff in it.
No, it's kind of like the old Gruul Adventures deck, except it's playing Showdown of the Scalds.
Yeah, Showdown of the Scalds is the new inclusion in this deck. And in fact, I would say the new It Girl of Standard.
Yes, that's very true.
Everyone trying to play it.
Yeah, Showdown of the Scalds. It does seem powerful, right?
Yes.
It has the same thing going on that Surprise Ban Escaped the Wilds. had going for it, which is like you draw a bunch of cards at once.
Yeah, and hopefully you can play them over the course of your next two turns and add counters to your creatures in the process.
Yeah.
It's an interesting card. I don't know if anyone said this is the Showdown of the Scalds deck for sure yet.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a few options of where that card might find a home as we look at some decks here coming up too.
But that deck has been doing pretty good. 51.6% win rate.
Okay.
So pretty nice. Gruul Aggro still in here. Old hat.
But yeah, 56.3% for Rakdos midrange is well head above all of these decks.
Although Sultai Ultimatum, are you seeing this one? 56.4%?
Where is that?
Ooh, right here.
Sultai Ultimatum.
Yeah.
I like saying it too.
Sultai Ultimatum.
Sultai Ultimatum sounds like some kind of fancy dish in a restaurant. I'll have the salty ultimatum, please.
It sounds like you're asking for something salty. salty ultimatum?
The salty ultimatum, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, that's a pretty good win rate as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello. That's probably, I would guess, like your Sultai deck that you mentioned that you're bringing to the VML.
Although I bet it's going to be playing the ultimatum that...
Get stuff back from your graveyard? Is that what it does?
No. The one that lets you go and find cards.
Oh.
And cast them?
That's the Sultai Ultimatum?
The Sultai Ultimatum. Emergent Ultimatum. Search your library for up to 3 monocolored cards with different names and exile them. An opponent chooses one of those cards. Shuffle that card into your library. You may cast the other cards without paying their mana costs. Exile Emergent Ultimatum.
Okay. I mean, maybe it was just a matter of time before we saw some more Ultimatum getting played in Standard, because Genesis Ultimatum, we know that one's been around for a while.
Exactly. That's been in those ramp decks that you've been seeing. I've seen a little bit of Eerie Ultimatum, which is the Abzan one that gets stuff back from the graveyard.
Okay.
So this deck is spicy.
All right, so what does this one do?
All right, so this is a very spicy deck. This is another Yorion deck.
Okay.
So it's got its 80 cards. It's got stuff like Vorinclex, there's a copy of in here.
Yep.
There's a copy of Valky, God of Lies.
Nice.
There's even an Essica's Chariot.
Oh, I love it.
I know. One of your faves. Binding the Old Gods.
Okay.
Which is a very good one. Shark Typhoon. Kyurabes the Sea God.
What?
This is just like, and then there's some ramp stuff. Cultivate is in here. And then you've got Emergent Ultimatum, which is what makes this an ultimatum deck. And so, you know, I think you're just... The cool thing about this, right, is that you can go and get Vorinclex, you can go and get Valky, and because of the way this works, like, you can get Valky because it is only one color. But then, if they pick it to let you cast it, you can choose to cast the Tybalt side.
Yeah, Judge Rob told us about this.
Ooh, pretty spicy. You could maybe go and get the Chariot, if that's what you need.
Look, this deck is playing 2 copies of All Runs Epiphany.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Look, I'm into it. Alrin's Epiphany is the take an extra turn card from this most recent set.
So for sure you're into it.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? This is spicy.
Okay, so this is officially, stamp it, mark it with approval. This is a new deck from Kaldheim.
This is a new deck from Kaldheim. Oh, it doesn't have as many new cards as you would maybe want.
Yep.
But it does have, I think, some of the most.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So that's pretty cool.
All right, Salty Ultimatum. You'll be salty if you lose to this deck, so maybe try it out in Standard.
Yeah.
If that sort of thing is your jam.
All right. I'm into it.
Okay. We found one. We found one.
Yeah, we found something pretty cool. Sultai Midrange is close to what I've been playing.
Okay, sure.
This is only 49.5 win percentage. But, you know, it's... And I do think that that seems like basically about what I would expect of this.
And it's a Yorion deck.
It is a Yorion deck. Some of my favorite cards in here is it has a Koma Cosmos Serpent. Which is like such a rude card.
Why was this card made?
Deeply rude.
That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Did Simic need this card in any world?
I guess. I mean, it does cost 7 mana. It does cost 7
and
mana.
And it's unbeatable in draft. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, it really is. And it has 4 copies of Binding the Old Gods.
Cool.
Which I just, in a recent game, flickered 3 times with Yorians. And if you have been running into a lot of Rakdos, I will say I think that this is favored in the Rakdos matchup.
Okay.
Because you have lots of ways to exile cards. You can do it with Elspeth's Nightmare. In my sideboard, I have more Cling to Dust because I like that card. And I think that it's good in the current meta.
Shadow's Verdict, 2 copies of that main deck.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Shadow's Verdict is a spicy card and also very good against Rakdos.
Yep.
Good. It exiles things out of their graveyard also when you cast it. Yeah. So. Very, very good.
2 copies of Eugene the Spirit Dragon as well.
You know I love me a Eugene.
You gotta ramp into that Eugene.
I will say, okay, we were talking about this beforehand, and I was like, I have a hot take, Maria.
Okay, let's go.
Which is that I think that this one is okay because it's more mid-rangey.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you just cycle a Shark Typhoon, drop a medium-sized shark, and try and beat them.
I love that YouTube song, Medium Size Shark.
Yeah. Great song. We all know it. Sometimes you're doing a lot of like card advantage stuff with Maze Mind Tome and Omen of the Sea, stuff like that. I don't think, and this is going to be a hot take because there have been a lot of builds of this, I don't think it's correct to be playing a Yorion control deck.
Whoa!
I know. But that's because sometimes just like the way control goes, you need to draw a Wrath.
Yeah.
You end up with a lot of cases where you need to draw something pretty specific.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to draw one specific kind of removal spell. Maybe you need to draw specifically a Field of Ruin to killer Crawling Barons.
This is how I feel playing Black-White Auras in Historic.
You just need to draw something pretty specific. Mm-hmm. And adding 20 cards to your deck is like not a small cost in control specifically.
Yeah.
Because there will be times if you're playing control with Yorion and you have 80 cards, you're like, oh my goodness, I really need exactly an Extinction Event.
Sure.
And you have severely limited your chances of drawing it. No matter how much card advantage you have, no matter how much drawing you're doing, you want to be doing that kind of drawing with 60 cards so that you have a much higher chance of drawing what you need when you need it. That's just my hot control take. After playing it a couple of times, because I kept ending up in these places when I was playing control style decks with Yorion, where I was like, oh, I really need an Extinction Event in like my next 3 draws. If you're doing a lot of card draw in a 60 card deck, a lot of times you hit it. You get there.
Oh, they always have it. That's
exactly
all I have to say.
And the number of times that it happens in 80 card decks is lower enough that I feel it. Like, I notice the difference.
Well, I unfortunately
That's my hot take.
Can't even respond to this take because
I
have never, ever been on the playing side of one of these decks. We're going to get Brad Nelson in here. We're going to have a debate.
I said, not mid-range.
Nope.
Like, mid-range, I think
mid-range
it's fine. It's got enough stuff going. You have enough angles that you're approaching the game.
Sure.
Well, there's a lot of different things.
Speaking of Yorion, we've talked about Yorion in control and your thoughts of it. That's Yorion in midrange. I want to talk about Mardu Yorion, which is ostensibly an aggressive deck. Now, this deck we're taking a look at is by somebody who made number 1 on the Mythic ladder with it. So they were able to do a lot of winning with it. Playing Yorion in an aggressive build.
This That's a hot take.
Hot take. Okay.
That's one heck of a hot take.
And the guy who played this deck to number one tweeted that he didn't know why Yorion was supposed to be a control card. He's like, I don't get it. Why can't I play an aggressive deck?
Wow.
So once again, we have Yorion stipulation in this aggro deck, yeah. which you think doesn't make sense because in aggro, you specifically need some aggressive cards early on in the game or you just lose.
Yes, very much so.
So we've packed the deck full of them, playing Luminarch Aspirant, that one that gives counters, Mire Triton to fill up the yard, Seasoned Hollowblade, my personal favorite, which is unkillable if you discard to it, Giant Killer, which I guess is small but deals with bigger creatures to help your creatures get through. Of course, you're playing Embercleave. The weird stuff about this deck is it's also playing Egon, God of Death.
Wow.
Slash the Throne of Death.
Yeah.
Which Egon is a 6/6 for 3 mana, by the way. You have to, what is it, exile 2 cards from your graveyard to keep it around. But the Throne of Death puts stuff into your yard for you to fuel your Ox of Agonis later on in the game, or to fuel your Egon if you play an Egon and have the Throne of Death in play or whatever. And you're also playing Immersed in Predator, that big 3/3 flyer that lets you sacrifice to save it, to give it invulnerable and to also put counters on it, whatever. Showdown of the Scalds is in this deck, of course. A Crone War, Tiamat Calls the Dead. So
this is very spicy.
This is a wild set of ingredients.
I will say that this is exceptionally spicy. And again, I think maybe this is the most cards that we've seen from the new set. It does have 4 Egon, it has 4 Immersturm Predator, and it has 4 Showdown of the Scalds.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a new innovation for sure. Absolutely putting Yorion in here as well.
Wild.
I played with this deck a little bit this morning to get a feel for it. It's a little complicated early on, but I will say I don't... You know, I don't personally get it. I don't get it. But this person made number one mythic, so who am I to say?
You know what? Sometimes it works for somebody.
Yep, that's true.
It's something that is true sometimes. Like sometimes it works.
Works for somebody else.
Another deck that's been hot recently is Boros Aggro, also known as Boros Scalds.
Yep, because this is all in on Scalds.
Yeah, this is all in on Showdown of the Scalds, which we've been talking about. The exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play those cards.
Yeah, so I think Martin Yuza was one of the first people I heard from tweeting about this deck, playing Showdown of the Scalds, and saying this is really good. This is exactly what you'd think of it. It's way more aggressive even than the last deck we just talked about.
Ooh, for Usher of the Fallen, which is a 2-1 for 1 with a Boast to make a 1-1.
That's cool.
Yeah. Jeez.
And then you play Shepherd of the Flock in this deck as well to bounce your Showdown of the Scalds so that it doesn't go to the graveyard after the third chapter and you can replay it.
Yeah, that's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see it here.
So this is just a classic aggressive deck, making the best use of the Scalds as possible.
I like Maul of the Skyclaves.
Maul of the Skyclaves, Skyclave Apparition, of course. Mm-hmm. Selfless Savior in here.
Sandy Dog MTG went 6-3 with this in the 5K Call Time Championship qualifier over SCG. So. Yeah,
definitely a Sandy Dog deck.
Yeah. All right, so if you're looking for something with a little aggro flavor, maybe this is going to be your thing.
I think that deck should be at the top of your list if that sounds good to you.
Yeah. You know, what else have we got?
Well, I'm going to mention the mono green ramp deck because...
Yes, I have played against this, actually, now that we talk about it. It had a card that I haven't otherwise seen or paid attention to. My opponent played this and I was like, what's happening? Old Growth Troll. Yeah. I was like, this is a card?
Yeah, that's a 4/4 for 3.
It is a 4/4 for 3. It's green, green, green for a 4/4 trample. When it dies, if it was a creature, return it to the battlefield. It's an aura enchantment with enchant forest you control, and enchanted forest has tap, add green, green, and one tap, sacrifice this land, create a tapped 4/4 green troll warrior creature token with trample.
That's where all the text is in Call Time.
Old Growth Troll.
It's all on Old Growth Troll.
Yes.
Yeah, this deck is a big fat fatties in green, hopefully powering out your Vorinclex early.
And then Vorinclex, monstrous raider,
shutting off everybody else's Showdown of the Skalds. Because if you've got a saga in play, Vorinclex says, "Do you really though?"
Yeah, wild
playing Garrick Unleashed just to put more pressure on the opponent. It's a very powerful deck that can get out of hand, especially if you have a card like Scavenging Ooze in play in Vorinclex, which is going to double those counters. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even think about that, but it does. It makes Showdown of the Skalds happen like. Just across two turns?
It just, like, does nothing. You don't put any counters on it. It just sits there.
What? Vorinclex says it don't have no counters.
It says if they would be put on, a half of them rounded down. Oh. So you put on zero.
If you would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, put twice that. I haven't even read all the text on this card, Maria, for being honest. That many of each of those kinds of counters on that permanent or player. Instead, if an opponent would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, they put half that many of each of those kinds of counters. I thought everybody doubled. I only read the first half of this card and thought it was everybody double.
Oh, yeah, no, this has come up for me more in draft, actually, is my, you know, sagas being shut off. No. But also somebody played Vorinclex against me plus the Fang Bear, which is why he's on my mind. And so I was getting, you know, quadruple poison counters.
Wow. Wow.
The flavor.
Wild.
Yeah. So this makes the mono green deck even more stompy.
Yeah. Vorinclex, big stomp.
So if you're, that's another deck that I would classify probably as aggressive and smash you in the face.
A little rampy.
The Klexel Rex. Yeah. This one I brought up for you, Megan. Simic Epiphany.
I'm into anything that says Epiphany in it.
So, of course, we're playing four copies of All Runs Epiphany. Take an extra turn.
I want to take an extra turn. Extra turn.
This is also playing four copies of Kosama, God of the Voyage.
Yeah, I really like Kosama.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of this card. I think this deck is like a little spicy and probably quite bad.
Yeah, I think it's very silly. However, the person did play Mythic with this deck.
All right.
And playing Graven Lore, allowing you to draw cards. So if you want something a little weirder to try out on the ladder, it did get there for this person. So
yeah, well, good for them.
Perhaps it can get there for you as well.
Do you know what? I do love me a good like ramp into taking extra turns.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
I'm very much here for it.
Okay. Is there any other decks we want to talk about down there? Oh yeah, there's just one, which is Jund Midrange, which is playing Valky, which I think is kind of cool because Valky and Jund just remind me of playing Jund in Modern. Your companion is Gigantha the Wellspring. You're playing Jundy type cards like Korvald, Faker's King, Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger, playing Valky, Woe Strider, Imastrum Predator, Bone Crusher Giant.
Yeah, the Acroan War. Again, steal things and sack them.
So just like an all-around value train mid-range deck.
It's like Rakdos, but you don't want to be so Rakdos. Yeah. You want to be a little more Jund instead.
You're like, you know, I'm going to play a little bit more fair and a little bit less tricksy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
These decks are all best of three, by the way. And that's, I guess, what we're showcasing this week. There's some stuff, of course, new stuff happening in best of one, most notably the Tybalt's Trickery into Ugin deck, but...
Wow.
You know, we're going to just ignore that for the time being because it's very silly and I don't want to run into that on the ladder. So I'll play best of three.
Yep. Same.
If you have a best of three standard deck that you've been playing with to great success, please tweet it at us at GLHFMagic and we'll spread the word for you.
Yeah. Or just something that you think is super fun and does have lots of new cards.
Yeah. Even if it's janky and weird, but you're like, this deck is cool. Let us know.
Let us know. We want to hear it. We want to see the spice.
I saw Spice World in theaters.
Wow. I don't even remember when that movie came out.
I'm aging myself. All right, it's time for story time with Megan.
That's right. Okay, so we are on episode 2, Awaken the Trolls.
Oh.
If you'll remember, back in episode 1, Kaya is here on call time looking for a monster.
Yeah.
And it turns out that monster, she doesn't know it, but is the Phyrexian Vorinclex, who causes some real havoc and then runs away into a wall somehow. So we know that there's some Phyrexian corruption going on, a little bit at least, in Kaldheim, and nobody knows how Vorinclex got there. Kaya doesn't even know that Vorinclex is Vorinclex. And so Alrund is like, I'm a god, you can take Kosama's sky boat through the cosmos and go and try and find whatever else it is that you need here.
Can I take a Sigis chariot, please?
Hey, the boat sounds nice, but... And he was like, the boat will take you where you need to go. So it just takes her through, you know, the cosmos.
Great.
And she ends up in the troll land. The troll one. I don't remember what its name
the
is.
The troll land. The troll one.
The troll one. And so there's, she like is wandering through the forest, and then she comes across someone calling himself Valky, who's with all the trolls, and is like getting the trolls whipped into a frenzy, and is like basically giving them some real propaganda about how they're gonna have to fight the other, like other people are coming to like fight them, and they're gonna have to defend themselves. But you're like, really, he's just getting them like ready to fight and not telling them the truth. And Kaya's like, wait a second, this doesn't seem like Valky. This doesn't seem like the other gods that I've met here on Kaldheim. And so she does a little magic and reveals him to be Tybalt, of course.
Of course.
Which we all know.
Inciting mob.
Exactly. And so she like fights some trolls because he sends them after her. And then he runs away and she chases him. And then Tybalt like is like, oh, you're gonna have to fight more trolls. And she's like, whatever, I just dealt with those ones. But then these trolls are big as mountains.
Oh.
He like wakes up these trolls, big as mountains, and then disappears while they're beating her up.
Wow, that seems like a tough opponent. A literal mountain.
Yes, it's a literal mountain. But then this like, I'm so cool elf shows up, who's just like, I think I'm the best.
While she's fighting these mountains? Yes. Okay. Yes.
He's like, you look like you need help. And Kaya's like, eye roll, okay? Like, don't get in here. But then he does, he like has this stone in his hand that he's turning over. And then he like runs around and like, you know, does some parkour essentially and touches the trolls.
Parkour!
With the stone. And then they turn to stone from where he touched them.
Oh.
And Kaya's like, you are insufferable.
He's like, hey, you having some problems with your mountains?
But thank you. But thank you for saving my life or whatever. He just continues, you know, he continues to be insufferable.
Great.
I don't know what else to say about him.
Of course, this is Ty Varkel we're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is obviously Ty Varkel.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've been around because, oh, Valky was in my kingdom. And he I think is the prince of the elf one.
Okay. Yep.
And he's like, oh, he's been like messing. He did the same thing that you just saw him doing to the trolls, like whipping them into a frenzy. He did in my kingdom. And he like corrupted my father, who is now like
the wither crown.
Yeah. Who is now sure that like bad things are going to happen and is like getting us all ready for war.
Wow.
Oh, his brother. Sorry. His brother is King Harald.
Okay.
And he's like, ever since Valky visited, they've been preparing for war. So like, thank you for revealing him. He doesn't actually say thank you because he's like too cool to say thank you.
Cool, but rude.
He's very cool, but rude. Anyways. And so then, Kaya's like, oh, I should go with you. Because we're both enemies of Tybalt or whatever. And then Immersturm. Oh, they're going. Oh, Tybalt ran away to Immersturm.
Immersturm.
He like opened up a portal somehow between the two. And
Immersturm like, sounds like a realm that you go to when you're eating a peanut butter sandwich. Immersturm. Immersturm.
It's the one of the demons. Obviously he at home there.
Yeah, of course.
And so anyways, Tyvar is like, we got to follow him there. And Kaya's like, how are we going to get there? I don't have that magic boat no more.
Yeah.
And anyways, and then like Tyvar somehow opens a portal.
Okay.
And she's like, she like sees he has like a bunch of like these necklaces hanging around with like tokens of places that he's been.
Yeah.
And she sees one and she's like, he's like, oh, you see this? It's from this place. Like, I have magic that even like the most sage mages in my land don't have. He's so, I can't like highlight enough how insufferable he is in this. He's like, and I'm so smart. I have all this knowledge.
Great.
And he's like, I got this on my travels from this place. And Kaya's like, Zendikar. It's called Zendikar. And she's like, ugh, you're a plane. Of course you'd have to be a planeswalker. And Tyvar's like, what's a planeswalker?
Oh, he doesn't even know what he is.
He doesn't even know. Exactly. Because he's just been like hopping around thinking that he's going on cool adventures because he's so cool. He doesn't even know exactly what he is.
Great.
But point is, she meets him. he sucks, but they're going to chase, they're both together chasing Tybalt around, trying to figure out what he's doing. And what he seems to be doing is like going to the different planes and preparing them to fight some battle on his behalf by telling them stories to like whip them into a frenzy.
Tybalt, what are you doing? What are you even doing, Tybalt?
Exactly.
He's trying to be the new Eugene, but he is not Eugene.
New Bolas.
New Bolas.
He's trying to be New Bolas.
New Bolas. You're trying to be Bolas. You ain't Bolas.
But you're not Bolas. But he sure is trying hard. He cut the hole by using the sword.
Yes. We saw it in the trailer.
Sword. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah. That's update on story time.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see what happens. Like, if this is a Tybalt story arc that just, like, ends here in Kaldheim, or if he goes on, like we've been saying, maybe he goes on to be the big bad for a couple of sets here. Yeah.
Maybe
messing
he
around.
Collects... Maybe he's the one who got Vorinclex here, and he's gone around and even collected the Phyrexians, in which case, he doesn't know what he's messing with.
Yeah, I know what's gonna... He's gonna get all those Phyrexians up in all of these planes. They're gonna invade. They're gonna make everything terrible with their Phyrexian goo.
Also... And I feel like this would be great if it ended in a classic. He thought that he was the one in charge of the Phyrexians. Yeah. But then he dies.
And they're like,
he dies because of the Phyrexians.
We're
somehow
in charge of you.
Exactly.
You're trapped in here with us.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a classic. You trapped in here. You thought. So anyways, that's that. Tyvar Kell. Wow, does he have a lot going on emotionally.
Thank you to one of our other sponsors, Ultra Pro.
That's right. And we've got some sweet new deck boxes that they have from Kaldheim.
This one is beautiful. Ice blue with the snow symbol on it.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great.
Look at that.
And then this one's like super, super metal.
Yeah, that's very cool. Kaldheim box.
It's like the Kaldheim Planeswalker symbol. Very, very cool. These are both like, they're very nice big flip boxes. You can put tons of cards in here. 100 cards,
double sleeved.
They've got this like great magnetic like locking system. They're easy to pull out of the box.
I'm trying to show
off
because
it opens like all the way up.
The magnet part of it, because it is pretty cool. Yeah, they've got new stuff. They release new stuff for every set, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah.
And let's open the snow deck and you can see the Planeswalker symbol on
here.
And
as you can see, like it opens all the way up. Yep. So you can like... take your deck out without having to wrestle it out on one side.
If you've ever wrestled with getting a deck out, especially a double sleeve deck, it's not pretty.
No.
Well, yeah,
not.
Look at that.
It's
A+.
So pretty. So pretty. So Ultra Pro, just some of the coolest stuff you can use to hold onto your Magic collection.
Absolutely. Buy it at your local game store or cardkingdom.com/PLHF. Everybody, that's episode 420. Blaze it up. Good luck, high five. Thank you so much for listening.
That's right. Once again, shout out to all of our wonderful sponsors, Card Absolutely. Kingdom and Ultra Pro, as well as to everyone who's a patron of the show over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yeah, if you want us to read your name before next episode, come on in and become a new patron. Yes. Thank you so much.
What you mean at the start of next episode?
Yeah.
What did I say? Before next episode, which just sounds like we'll read it while we're not recording.
Yeah, we'll just read it to ourselves.
We'll just read it to ourselves.
Which we will also. But yeah, if you want it on the next episode, become a patron. Patreon.com/GLHFmagic. We would so love to have you over there. We're putting up some new videos on our YouTube channel this week as well. I streamed some of that Black White Auras deck. You can check out youtube.com/goodluckhighfive for that if you want to see the deck in action. Winning, winning, winning.
Yeah.
Megan's going to keep us updated on the VML.
Yep. And then we'll hear more updates on hashtag Maria's Mythic Month.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Go out there, tell a friend about Good Luck High Five if you haven't. You can give them a virtual high five and just be like, hey, this is a cool show, you know? Hey. And even though it's, you know, -25 here in Minnesota, hopefully our show can keep your ears warm in these cold times.
Yes. But also wear a hat.
Cold times.
Wow.
Maybe that's how they thought of the name. It's like when they're trying to think of Oreo and they're the commercial, they're like, what do we call this? Oreo?
Oreo.
Call time.